So the reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jo, thank you very much for reading to us. Let me lead us in a prayer before we look at that wonderful passage together. Lord, the Psalms tell us that your word is sweeter than honey. So help us to savour it now. Please would you instruct us and inspire us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, raise a hand if you like penguins. I think that's most of us, isn't it? They are fantastic animals. Just imagine, in June and July, when we're here enjoying the wonderful English sunshine, the penguins are down there in the Antarctic. It's pitch dark, it's minus 50 degrees, and the winds blow up to 120 miles an hour. It's not a nice place. How do they stand firm in such a hostile environment? Well, they do it by being like-minded. You see the connection to our passage already, perhaps. The penguins all see the world in the same way. They work together with the same priorities, incubating the eggs and going fishing in order. And the same is true for believers in Jesus. In some countries, the hostility is very obvious. The darkness and the brutal winds of state-sponsored persecution. In England, it's more social pressure on the church. The drip, drip, drip of comments from friends and from the media, which make us wonder whether following Jesus is really worth it at all. How will we stand firm? How will we survive and flourish like the penguins? As disciples of Jesus, how will we find courage to live for Jesus and to make him known in Maidenhead? Well, the answer is by being like-minded. That is the big message of Philippians chapter 2. But these verses don't simply command us to be like-minded. They give us a wonderful motivation as well, as they show us the mindset of Christ our Saviour. We're continuing our journey through the book of Philippians, which we started in the new year. And the key context to tonight's passage actually comes in chapter 1. So if you still have it open with you, in front of you, page 1179, let's look back at chapter 1 and verse 27. So Paul writes, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Whatever happens, says Paul, however strong the blizzard blows, I want you to stand firm as a church. And the way to do that is to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. In other words, live a life that matches what you believe. Well, as we come to chapter 2, Paul shows us what that kind of life looks like. And it all begins with our minds. And that's our first big heading tonight, the mindset commanded by Paul. Let's look together at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, Paul is assuming that his readers in Philippi do have these things, even to a small extent. Because anyone who has understood and grasped the gospel will be encouraged. We are encouraged, if we're Christians, to be united with Christ forever. Through faith, we are bound to him forever. We do have comfort from his love, the love that he showed us on the cross and which we experience every day. We do share in the Holy Spirit. Each believer in this room has the same Spirit dwelling in them, guiding us and transforming us. And we do have tenderness and compassion, which we received from Jesus and which the Spirit now helps us to show towards others. And so Paul says, if you have these things, kind of assuming that you at least have some of these things, well, make my joy complete by being like-minded. And then he spells out what he means, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. In the original language, it literally says, having the same love, together-minded, and reasoning as one. So in everything that we do as the 630, as a church family, in all our activities, in all of our planning for the future, we are to be united in our thinking. Because we know that we're united with Christ, well, we should be united in our priorities as a church. Because we know the comfort of Jesus' love, well, we should love one another. Because we share in the same Spirit, we will join in his work in Maidenhead, making Jesus known, shining like stars in this town. And because we have tenderness and compassion, well, we will serve. We will serve those who are suffering and those who are struggling with sin. Now, if you're anything like me, you'll know that this mindset doesn't come naturally, does it? We are all very powerfully influenced by the individualism of Western society. Frank Sinatra famously sang, "I did it my way." He didn't sing, "We did it Jesus' way," which is what Philippians is telling us. Now, according to verse 3, the key to being a like-minded church is humility. Let's look at verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And we'll think in a few moments at what that might look like in practice. But for now, I hope it's obvious that if we want to be like-minded together, then it's going to help if we are individually humble and looking out for each other's interests. Well, that is the mindset commanded by Paul, but he doesn't stop there. You see, he wants to motivate us. And so our second heading is the mindset modeled by Christ. And that is the wonderful thing that happens in verses 5 to 11, the mindset modeled by Christ. Now, some Bible scholars think that this is a song. Verses 5 to 11 is a song that the Christians were singing in their gatherings, and Paul is just quoting it. Others think it's a poem which he wrote for himself. But either way, it's a beautiful description, isn't it, of Jesus' journey, what he's done. And the shape of it, it reminds me of the next slide, the swoosh, the Nike swoosh. This is a copyright-free slide, by the way. And other shoes are available. But this song follows that shape, doesn't it? Jesus came down into our dark world He died on the cross to pay the price for sin, and then he soared up again to glory, ready to take us with him through faith. Well, why does Paul put this incredible song here at this point in this letter to these people? That's always a good question to ask when you're studying the Bible. Is it simply to remind the Philippians of the gospel? Well, possibly, but I take it they already heard the gospel. They already knew that. No, it's because he wants them to think like Jesus. And that's how he introduces it in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We are to be like-minded, not just with one another, but with Jesus himself. We are to have the very mind of Christ. Our culture talks a lot, doesn't it, about having a positive mindset. I Googled positivity and positive mindset. I came up with several million hits. The most extreme version of this is probably manifesting. Maybe some of you have come across this idea that your mindset, how you think, can literally change your future. It can change your destiny. Well, there's no evidence that that works. The Bible has a much better formula for us. Why not follow the mindset of the one who created you, the one who died for you, and who has given you a certain future through faith? Follow the mindset of Christ. In our remaining time, let's pick out three aspects of Jesus' mindset, which we see in this song. And the first is his humble service. Let's read from verse 5 again. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus could easily have taken advantage of his equality with God. As a part of the Godhead, the wonderful Trinity, Jesus is eternal. He is all-powerful. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. He could have behaved like a king in a castle high up on a hill with those peasants in the village down below, keeping his distance. He could have avoided our messy world altogether, kicked back on his throne and enjoyed his cosmic splendor. And I imagine that's exactly what I would have done had I been in that position. But Jesus didn't. He chose the path of humble service. Born as a baby in a manger, as we remembered at Christmas a few weeks ago. Now, Jesus didn't give up being God. That is the wonderful mystery of the incarnation. Jesus always remained fully God, even as he became fully man. But he never considered his godness something that should hold him back, that should keep him at a distance from us. Now, the incredible thing that I found in a commentary as I was reading about this, which I had never spotted before, is that this is the very nature of God. Let me show you. So verse six, being in very nature God. So Jesus, being in nature God, verse 7, made himself nothing. Do you see the connection? Jesus didn't humble himself despite being God. He humbled himself because he was God. He is God. It is God's nature to be a servant. Isn't that incredible? What a contrast to the gods of other religions who are often so distant and so demanding. How different to the gods of our secular age, the gods of materialism and pleasure, who actually trap us and make us serve them. The God of the Bible is a humble servant. Let's praise him and give him thanks for that. And according to Paul, his is the model for us to follow. We are to follow Jesus' humble service. So verse 3 again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Now, as we think through how to put this humility into practice, let me say what humble service is not. Humble service is not a payment to God. We don't serve in order to gain God's favour. No, the Christian gospel tells us that we do it in response to our salvation. Jesus' blood saves us, and then we serve humbly. Humble service is also not exhausting. I don't need to rush around Maidenhead, visiting as many people as I can, caring for as many people as I can, until I burn out. I think I've probably made that mistake. And humble service is also not being exploited. We shouldn't serve somebody just because they've manipulated us into serving them. And that can happen. So what is humble service? Well, the key is at the end of verse 3. Value others above yourselves. If I value myself as number one in the pecking order, well, I'm going to spend time thinking about me, aren't I? I'll fill up my calendar with social events and entertainment that makes me feel good. I'm going to come to church thinking, what's in it for me this week? How can the church meet my needs? Or maybe, how can I persuade other people that my ministry is the most important one? But if I value other people above myself, well, it means I'm going to notice them. I'm going to notice how they are suffering, how they are struggling in sin. I'm going to have a deep desire to point them to Jesus as their shepherd and their saviour. I'm going to pray for them and perhaps offer to pray with them. And of course, humble service is not something I need to do by myself. That's the whole point of Philippians 2, isn't it? We are to be like-minded together as a church. And it's a great strength, I think, of our system of growth groups, our midweek fellowship groups at St. Mary's, that we can care spiritually for one another. We don't just leave it to John the vicar to do that. We care for one another together. Well, the mindset of Christ involves humble service, but it also involves obedient sacrifice. And we see that in verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was obedient to his Father throughout his life on earth. If we read the Gospels, we can see that. And he remained obedient to the very point of death itself. Before his crucifixion, he prayed that famous prayer, "Your will be done." And we see his obedient sacrifice most clearly as he hangs on the cross, taking upon himself the wrath of God that our sin deserves. Out of obedience, Jesus willingly took the right and proper judgment that we should have taken. Well, what might it look like for us to be obedient in sacrifice like this? How do we follow Jesus' model? Well, in one sense, we can't, can we? We can never do what Jesus did. We can't pay the price of our own sins. And that's because sin is against God. Only God can forgive it. All we can do is to fall on our knees and to thank Jesus for his sacrifice. But there is another sense in which we can sacrifice obediently to God. The pursuit of holiness, wholehearted living as a Christian, often feels very costly, doesn't it? Perhaps when you resist a temptation, everyone else is getting drunk, you resist. It's costly. When you decline an invitation to watch a movie or to listen to music that you might think is blasphemous or would just be unhelpful to you spiritually. When you refuse to be complicit in unethical business practices at work. When you choose to defend somebody that everybody else is gossiping about. Well, it's always encouraging to me when I hear of people being open about their faith, perhaps in school or in the workplace. That is another example, isn't it, of obedient sacrifice. You're willing to deal with a little bit of awkwardness to show where you stand. Later in Philippians, we're going to come across a man with the wonderful name of Epaphroditus. And he's described as risking his life for the sake of the gospel. We'll hear about him in a couple of weeks. And we're privileged at St. Mary's to support a number of mission partners all over the world who are risking their life like this today. And our own mission here in Maidenhead to make Jesus known will also involve obedient sacrifices as we give money to gospel work, as we invest time and energy getting to know neighbours when we'd probably much rather put our feet up and watch the TV. Well, the mindset of Christ is humble service, obedient sacrifice, and finally, certain hope. Let me read verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, we already saw, didn't we, at the beginning of the passage in verse 1, that Christians are united with Christ. So that means whatever happens to Jesus happens to us or will happen to us. That Nike swoosh that Jesus went on, well, we go on it too, on that same arc as his followers. After his obedient sacrifice, Jesus rose again on that glorious Easter morning, and he was lifted up, ascended into heaven. And Jesus is now the name that should cause every knee to bow. And one day, every knee will bow. Hiro Onoda, the man in this photograph, was a Japanese soldier during World War II. When the war ended in 1945, he found himself in the jungle on a little island in the Philippines. And for whatever reason, nobody told him that the war was over. Mr. Onoda continued to fight the Second World War until 1974. Isn't that extraordinary? When he was finally captured, it took a while for them to persuade him that he could put his gun down, that it was all over. Well, when Jesus returns, there will be no one holding out like that. The confident atheists, the religious clerics of this world, the people who live on our streets, every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. For some, it will be a terrifying day as their life of rejecting Jesus is laid bare. And that is why at St. Mary's we continue, despite criticism, I think, to preach the gospel. We continue to preach it on Sundays, and we speak about it in our growth groups and over coffee together. We do it because we believe these verses, that we believe that Jesus really is the Lord of all. And so we long for our friends to take refuge in him. For others, that will be a day of great rejoicing. Perhaps you've been suffering recently. Maybe you've been battling a particular sin, and it just seems like such a long road. What joy it will be to see your Saviour. Well, Paul's song ends in verse 11, to the glory of God the Father. Because in making that wonderful journey from heaven to the cross and back again, Jesus has revealed to us the glory of God. Through Jesus, we see that God is a humble servant who was willing to pay the ultimate price to bring us back to him and to give us that certain hope. So friends, as we finish, is this your mindset? Have you taken hold of Jesus' sacrifice for you? Have you accepted who he is as the Lord of all? There is no greater decision to be made, is there? But if you have, if he is your Lord and your Saviour, then rejoice, because you have this mindset, this certain hope. Humble service, obedient sacrifice, certain hope. This is the mindset of Christ, and it's going to help us to stand firm as individuals and together as a church in the week ahead. So let me lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we long to stand firm as your church in this town and in this country. Lord, we want to survive and to thrive in a world that doesn't accept you. Please would you therefore help us to be like-minded. Give us the same love, the same priorities in the gospel, the same purpose. And may each one of us here tonight be motivated by this mindset of Jesus himself. By your Spirit, may we increasingly become a people whose mindset is all about humble service, obedient sacrifice, and certain hope. We ask this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.